So, January the 11th, 2026, Mysteries in the Bible. So my tape started, so review. So hopefully I'm not too boring, because, I mean, we need to know these mysteries. And again, that's why I wanted to go through these, because we need to write them down, we need to put them in our Bible, we need to teach them, we need to know them, because when you know these truths, you won't get carried away with heresies. Like number one, people are thinking, well, the rapture's already happened. There are people that believe that. There are people that believe that God's promises to Israel are going to the church. That's not right. So those are dealt with in these mysteries. And so these truths. So let me just quickly go through this. Number one, the mystery of godliness is what? God in the flesh. The mystery of Christ in His church, which is Christ's body. That is a mystery, or was a mystery. To us, it's not. It's a truth. Number three, the mystery of God indwelling man, which is Christ in you. People can't understand that. We have the Holy Spirit that lives inside us, comes inside us the moment of salvation, and we are a new creature. We're not the same. And so it takes us our whole life to figure that out as being a Christian. But the moment we accepted Christ as our Savior, everything's completely new. Because we are a new creature, okay? Because why is that? Christ is in us. And you think about that. God has put a part of Himself into us. It's kind of like His down payment. And, of course, He's not going to leave us. I mean, He's already invested in us. He's already given us a part of Himself. And so we have something that the rest of the world doesn't have. We have the Holy Spirit that resides in us. Number four, the mystery of God restoring Israel. God putting His focus from the church back to the nation of Israel. And we see that in Romans 11:25. And I'm just going to stop here. So I don't really like to talk about politics a whole lot in a church setting. But basically what we've been seeing for the last 80 years or 100 years is everything going to a globalist society where Satan can take over. I mean, once you understand where we are in church history and the next move is Satan's going to organize things and get them together. And we talked about the mystery of iniquity last Sunday. And now this week we're going to talk about the mystery of Babylon the Great. But we're seeing things take shape. And everything for the last, like I said, 80-100 years, it's been pushing the world to get to a point where it's globalistic and where Satan just steps in and he's got everything going. And yet we have a president right now that is just trying to blow that out of the water because he's trying to unravel that stuff. I'm surprised the guy's still alive. The only reason he's still alive is because God's allowing him to do it. And so you may not like our president, but look at what he's doing. And he is giving these globalist people fits because he's tearing down the money. He's tearing down everything. And yet I have a Bible that says, no, it's going to be globalist. So what's that tell me? We have a short period of time while God is just allowing things to happen. Because I was thinking, man, we're almost there. I mean, we are just at the point of the rapture. The Antichrist is going to step in because everything's going global. Everything's together. And we've just got a little reprieve here. And as our pastor Brian says, we've got a short time to get our work done. Now, whether we're going to live through that because we're going so hard, I don't know. But I just look at the things that are going on and I'm like, he's supposed to be going to Davos. Now, we need to pray for president because he's going to Davos in less than 2 weeks. And he's going to march in there and tell them, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do this, and we're not going to do that, and we're going to do everything we can to tear that globalist part of a system apart. And I'm like, I wouldn't be doing that if I was him because where's Davos at? Switzerland? He's in the middle of Europe. And that's the one, he's walking into their den saying, basically, I'm getting ready to destroy you guys. Mm-hmm. And yet we know it's going to go back the other way. So we need to pray for him this next couple of weeks hard. And the only reason I'm saying this is, again, is because that's basically what's going on. And yet we know what the Bible says. And we know what President Trump is saying. And we're like, okay. We need to pray for the man because we know it's going to flip right back around. pretty quick. And so the church is not done with Israel, because we know it's going right back there in the tribulation. Everything's going to happen. Okay, number five. The mystery of the rapture of the church. Again, big talk right now in all the churches, because you got people that believe it happens halfway through the tribulations. You have people that believe it's at the end of the tribulation. Of course, the Bible basically preaches it's before the tribulation, because the church is not appointed to wrath. Okay, as a whole. And so, and the reason I think, and I tried to catch this up, is basically in our handout here. The focus is Christ returning for His church, the resurrection of believers, and those who are alive and remain being caught up to be with Christ. And here's the point. Remember, there are three groups in the Bible that get raptured out at different times. You have the Old Testament saints. They get raptured out. Christ took captivity captive. And B, you got the New Testament saints, which is the church. That's us. We get raptured out once. And then you have tribulation saints, and there's several times during the book of Revelation, well, they are raptured. The problem is people get those confused with the church, and then they're all out of whack. And then when they're all out of whack, they don't know what time they're in. They don't know what dispensation they're in. And so that is why we have to rightly divide the word of truth. That's why we have to study the Bible. When you study it and rightly divide it, you kind of see where we are in history. Okay? And so we talked about that. And then last week we talked about the mystery of iniquity. And so we saw that in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12 deals mostly with Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Okay? And then today we're going to talk about the mystery of Babylon the Great. So I want you to turn over to Revelation 17. How many of you like studying the book of Revelation? Okay, several of us do. I mean, I've went through it over and over and over. And yet, I think every time I go through it, I learn it. But I'm like, man, there are so many things I do not understand. But yet, there are things that I do understand. Okay? So like anything else, you ask the Lord to give you understanding of certain things. And He will give it to you at the right time. But you got to keep asking for it. Revelation chapter 17, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, and having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written. Here it is. Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So let's just stop right there. So that's where we see this mystery, Babylon the Great. So we're going to deal with that a little bit today. So with the mystery of iniquity, it's basically focused on Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. But the mystery of Babylon the Great, again, is the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. It's basically number one on your handout. It deals with the religious and political system behind the Antichrist. Okay? So, this religious and political system is also referred to as a city. So, we're in chapter 17 of Revelation. Go down to verse 18. And it says, And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And so, anybody have an idea what city that might be? Rome. That's a very good guess. And so we go back and connect it. It sits on seven hills, and we connect everything together, and we see that this religious and political system is really focused to a city which we believe to be Rome, which basically has
the Pope
has been for the last 300 years after Christ, ever since its beginning, it's been fighting Bible believers and making up its rules and everything else. And, you know, so the whole world, they look at, well, the church, Christianity, the church, well, it's Catholics. No, it's not. That's the false, that's this false church mystery, the Babylon the Great. Roger, you have your hand up.
Just a question about Jerusalem's part in it. It's called spiritual Babylon.
Okay. Well, yes, there is some connection. There's three cities that I'm going to liken this to that have a major connection with this. Number one is Rome. Number two is Babylon. Number three is Jerusalem. And you can connect all three of those at times to this religious system or to this city. Okay. And so, let me give you a little Bible principle that you learned probably first here in Walking Worthy class. If you come down to two things and you can't decide which one it is, which is the answer to your question, it's almost always both. You bring it down to the lowest common denominator, and when you can't get it past two, put them both in there because they're probably both true. And in this case, I think all three of those you can make a case for. Definitely when the Antichrist sits on the throne in Jerusalem at that point, the focus will be Jerusalem. I don't know how the connection with Babylon and how the connection with Rome. So I do know that Rome gets destroyed in the middle of the tribulation. And then it goes back to Babylon. But yet, how's the Antichrist going to be and Babylon and Jerusalem at the same time, and how's the Satan himself sit down in Jerusalem, and is that going to be the capital, or is Babylon going to be the capital? So there's some issues going on there. You have a question?
I don't know. I guess I'm confused on where Babylon's actually going to be. I kind of thought Babylon was going to be Rome. It was like the new Babylon.
Okay. Well, right now, it is pretty well Rome. But at one point when Rome gets destroyed, it seems like there's some places back in Jeremiah and Daniel. It talks about two women like had wings of a stork that carry it back to Babylon.
So back into Iraq.
So originally, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going a little farther on our lessons. You were right. Okay. So the mystery Babylon the great, the whore is basically a religious system. But if you've looked at Rome, they've always tied religion and politics together. And so it's a combination. Number two, it says this false religious system can be traced all the way back to Nimrod. Okay, how many of you have heard that? Okay, so you've heard that. Let's go back and look at that. Genesis chapter 10. Today, Carrie and I was on the way down here, and we always listen to good Christian music on Sunday morning, 94.9, on the way down. And Casey Kasem was on today, and he goes, our next group got their name from the Bible. And he does his long expose on the Bible, and I'm like, wow, I'm having a Bible study from Casey Kasem. I mean, he's talking about it's been translated in this is there's been 2 billion of these King James Bible, and he mentioned the King James, and I mean, it was a pretty good lesson, and I'm like, wow. And what did he say? It's like 9 billion Bibles since 1900 or something have been done in the King James. He had a lot of numbers and figures and all this. And of course, the group, he goes, and the whole thing was because there was a group named after the first book of the Bible. Genesis, right? And But I'm like, wow, even on that station, I got a biblical lesson on the way down here today. And I never thought that, but, you know, that's why it's a religious program. But Genesis chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 1. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tirus, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Ripha, and Togarma, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. And these were the isles, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families and their nations. And the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sabta, and Rema, and Septica, and the sons of Rema, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. So let me stop here. When it says he's a hunter, he's not hunting deer. He's hunting people.
How do we know that?
By studying it.
Show you.
Okay. Well, you look at it this week, and if you can figure that out. If not, I'll talk to you next week. I'll give you a little homework. Okay. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Verse 10. And the beginning of his kingdom. So this guy Nimrod has a kingdom, which was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, and the land of Shinar. Okay, so basically, in the land that we know, the Babylonian Empire, basically, in that Euphrates, what's the other river? Tigris Valley. That's where Babylon is today, even. And I believe that's in Iraq. So that whole valley, here you have a man, he comes out of Ham, and he is building a city, and he is building a kingdom. Because it was more than just one city. So that's not what God told Adam. And that's not what God told Noah. He didn't say go build cities. He goes scatter. And yet these guys are building a kingdom. It's not God's kingdom. Okay? And so this false religious system goes all the way back to here and what they were doing in Genesis. But you know what? I believe it goes back farther than that. Probably all the way back to Cain in the Bible. Okay, so go back to Genesis chapter 4, and you're like, Bob, why do you say that? Okay, Genesis chapter 4, verse 16 through 24. Okay, so starting in verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, in the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Okay? So you've got Cain, and his son starts building a city. Sounds real familiar with Nimrod. You don't see any of Seth's line building cities. The ones you see building cities are in the Ham group and in a group that I believe they're building their own kingdom apart from what God's kingdom is. So I think this false system even goes all the way back to Cain. Okay? Now, I don't know if I can prove that other than the fact that Nimrod was building cities in the kingdom and Cain's son was doing it. That's how I'm connected. And I'm saying because of that, that's why I'm coming up with what I'm saying. I didn't get that from anybody else. I'm just studying the Bible, connecting the dots. Okay? And so you're going to ask me how I know that too, right?
No. Okay. I'm going to make a comment.
No.
In Genesis chapter 5, there's Enoch who walked with God and he is not.
So we have...
You see a false line...
Correct.
Satan got his guy in there first.
Yes.
Mentioned.
And that's funny because you'll see several of the names matching a good line. So we're seeing that false line that I'm saying, and it goes to Nimrod, but yet it goes all the way back to Cain. That's my connection. Good point. Okay, so this system, this religious system we see back in Revelation chapter 17. So let's go back there real quick, and we'll just look at a few verses that we have. So we already started reading some of that already today, but we're right back to that chapter. So that we see that the system here is introduced in Revelation chapter 17, 1 through 6, and it says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials," and I think I read that already, "and talked with them, me saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit to the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast." That scarlet-colored beast, anybody have a reference to who that might be? That's the Antichrist. Okay. "Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Okay, so I'll stop there. So we see kind of this woman, who she is, this false religion, is basically introduced in what I've already read here. Okay, so that's chapter 17, 1 through 6. But it's basically defined more if we continue reading all the way down to verse 18. And so let's do that. Let's just read 7 to 18. Well, let's back up to 6. "And when I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." He's trying to figure this out. Verse 7. "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is." So that beast that was, and is, let's see, what did it say? That beast there that was, and is not, and yet is really a reference to the Antichrist. More specifically to Judas, if we want to go back and compare scripture to scripture. So let's keep moving. "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." Again, Rome sits on seven mountains. But I've also heard that so does, I believe, Mecca. So there, right now, and I think I mentioned this a week or two ago, there are Muslims that have been saved that say, no, this woman, this false system is Muslim religion, because it lines up. And yet Catholics that get saved go back and go, no, this is Rome, and it's easy. And of course Bible believers for years have been saying it's been Rome, because she's the one that's killing them. But who else kills Christians? The Muslims. So when you get down to two, what do you do again?
Both.
It's both. And if these two, and I was thinking, if these two forces get connected, it's going to be nasty. When that Antichrist takes place and he puts everything in a worldwide globalistic economy, and he marries the religions together, and he marries all the politics together, and you got the Muslims and the Catholics, what do you think they're going to do to the Bible believers?
Hunt them down.
Yeah, because right now the only one I know that's cutting people's heads off are the Muslims. But that's right now. So where do I stop at? Let's keep going. Okay, the seven mountains. Verse 10. And there are seven kings, five are fallen and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Hallelujah. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, and to the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So we see the woman defined in the rest of the chapter, and yet in Revelation chapter 18, I think this is in your handout, she's judged. Okay? And so real quickly, I'm going to run through this. The seven kings and the beast that Satan has and will use and run in his false religion throughout history. We see that we've read. So this mystery Babylon basically relates to a city, it relates to a religion, a false religion that we can trace all the way back to Nimrod, all the way back to Canaan. And yet there are kings that have put this religious system in their kingdom when they were here. Number one, it starts with Nimrod. Nimrod's your first blank. And it's interesting that the second one is, anybody guess who the second guy would be on this list? Just think of big kingdoms that ran the world. Who's in Egypt? Pharaoh. Pharaoh is called in the Bible the Assyrian. And you're like, wait a minute, why is he called the Assyrian? Either he is from Assyria or he has that religion. And it was probably both. So, yeah, so go back and study the Pharaohs, because just because they're the king of Egypt doesn't mean they're from Egypt. There's a very good proof that they were from Assyria. Okay? So we got Nimrod, we got Pharaoh, and then you've got several. That's Sennacherib, which is the king of Assyria, which came in and destroyed the northern ten tribes. You got Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, Cyrus and Persia, and then the next one is Alexander the Great. Anybody studied him? He is a fascinating guy to study, but when you study him, he thought he was a god. Well, he was. He's in that same spirit as the Antichrist. So God has had these guys in place all along. Or not God, Satan has. So you got Alexander the Great. He's one of these seven kings that are related to Satan, related to the Antichrist. You got Caesar. And then the very last one is the Antichrist. So all down through history, Satan has had his guy in there, and each one of these guys were following this false religion of Satan. Okay? And so the time of each king, the Bible says, five are fallen, one and four are the same, so what are those five? Well, five would be number one, two, three, five, and six. One is, so the religious system right now that's in charge of everything is basically Rome. They have the spirit of the Antichrist. And yet there is one to come, which will be the Antichrist. And you can just put down any moment now. That's how close we are to it. So real quickly, the timeline of all this. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist starts his kingdom with false church through lies and false covenants. Covenant goes in your blank. The last 3.5 years, there is a worldwide apostasy. There is a war in heaven. Satan is cast to the earth. The Antichrist gets killed and comes back alive, and Satan enters into him. And then all hell breaks loose. Boy, people use that phrase, but I'm like, this is literally all hell will break loose. Okay? I also heard one time, you know, not good to cuss a lot, but so when I get a chance in here, I'm going to do it. No. I mean, literally. I mean, I'm not trying to say a cuss word. Satan's in charge now. And he knows he has a short time, and he is going to bring everything against the nation of Israel, as well as the rest of the world, or anybody that's following Christ at that point. That's why he's hunting people down in the tribulation and cutting your head off. Because he's got a short time. The covenant goes in your next blank. The covenant to the Jews is broken, and Satan, indwelling the Antichrist, takes over the temple and declares himself to be God. Moses and Elijah return, and they warn the Jews to flee to the mountains. And I put S in there because that's what it says in the Bible. Christ comes back at the second coming, destroys the Antichrist army, and throws the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire, and Satan is bound, and the millennium will start with the church at Christ's side. So let me say one more thing out, and I'm done. What will our role be in the millennium? And I hear people teach that what? Okay, well, how do we rule with Christ? So I've heard people say, well, we will be given cities and parts of the world to reign over. Here's the thing. I can't find that.
Yeah. Christ is over everything.
I can't find that. Now, I do find tribulation saints that make it to the end, that they are given a reward of having cities and places. But I'm not a tribulation saint, neither are you. And yet, we're supposed to be on our honeymoon with Christ for this 1,000 years. So how do we be separate from Christ if we're on our honeymoon? So all I see is during the millennium, we will be with Christ and not scattered from Him, but we'll be with Him as He ruled, and we will reign with Him. Okay? And if you want to look at that, there's some more homework for you. Go back and see if you can find out who's reigning over cities. But I don't think I couldn't find it where the church did. I did find tribulation saints did. Oh well. But we'll be with Christ, because how are we going to be separate from Him? We're going to be with Him forever. So, awesome. So let's pray we're out of here. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for all the deep things we looked at today in these mysteries. And Lord, we pray for the rapture to happen quickly, but at the same time, Lord, we pray for more people to get saved. So we'll leave this into Your hands and ask that You guide us through it. And I just pray for the rest of the day today that would give You honor and glory. And I pray for this week that we would be all about Your business. In Christ's name, amen. I apologize, I'm getting you guys out a little late today.